This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This day in sports history. It's April 29th, and on this day in 1986, Roger Clemens set a Major League Baseball record that's been equaled, but never bettered. The Boston Red Sox were at home against the Seattle Mariners on this day. It was 23-year-old Roger Clemens getting the start for the Sox. Clemens had a powerful arm, earning him the name Rocket for his blazing fastball. And on this day, not only was his fastball moving, but it was really moving. He faced a total of 30 batters, striking out 20 of them. He sprayed 3 hits but gave up no walks in a complete game 3-1 win. He became the first pitcher to strike out 20 in a 9-inning game. A few had come close. Steve Carlton had a 19-strikeout game in 1969. Tom Seaver equaled that a year later, and Nolan Ryan had his 19-strikeout day in 1974. Now, one of the things that makes Clemens' performance on this day a little more incredible than it already is that he was only a few months removed from shoulder surgery. The radar gun seemed to be stuck on 95 on this day. Every Mariner struck out at least once. Phil Bradley was the unfortunate one that was crowned with the golden sombrero for striking out 4 times on the day, including the game-ending, record-setting 20th K of the game. Clemens struck out the side 3 times. His longest streak was 8 consecutive from the 4th to the 6th inning. And the only Mariner run was a solo home run by Gorman Thomas in the 7th. Clemens would go on to lead the American League in wins that year with 24 and had a league-leading ERA of 2.48, and he would win his first Cy Young and MVP. Since that game, Clemens' strikeout performance has been equaled 3 times, but not bested. Clemens actually did it again in 1996. Kerry Wood joined Clemens in 98, and Max Scherzer had a 20K performance with the Washington Nationals in 2016. For a 20-year period, Clemens was pretty dominant. In that 2-decade span, he led the league in strikeouts 5 times, led the league in ERA 7 times, was the AL Cy Young winner 5 times, and the league MVP once. And yet, Roger Clemens is not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Many have said that if it was only about the numbers, well, Clemens would have had a plaque in Cooperstown a decade ago. But his legacy has been tarnished by steroid allegations. Clemens appeared in George Mitchell's report on performance-enhancing drugs back in 2007. He was accused by his trainer Brian McNamee of using PEDs. Despite the fact that he went to court, spent millions of dollars clearing his name, and has never been convicted, he hasn't come close to the 75% of the vote needed for Hall of Fame induction. But one thing the baseball writers cannot take away from him is the record-setting performance he had on this day in 1986. Also on this day in 1970, it was Game 3 of the NBA Finals between the New York Knicks and the Los Angeles Lakers. In a furious final flurry, the Knicks went from winning the game to having to play more basketball, with Mr. Clutch Jerry West providing the drama.
7, 6, 5, DeBusschere shoots, hit with 3 seconds to go. 2 seconds, 1 second, West throws it up. He makes it. West threw it up and makes it over half court. The ball game is tied. Jerry West made it from the other side of the midcourt stripe.
West sank a 60-foot buzzer-beating 2-point shot to send Game 3 of the NBA Finals to overtime. Of course, if the NBA had adopted the three-point shot by this point, it would have been a win for the Lakers. However, West's more than half-court heave just sent the game to overtime. And the Lakers couldn't capitalize on the logo's clutch shot as the Knicks won the game 112-108 in overtime. And look, I get it. Rules of the day dictate what happened. But if that shot is a three instead of a two, Lakers win game three, and they go on to win the series in six games. But that's not how things went. The series would go seven games and have a dramatic end that I will certainly talk about on the May 8th edition of This Dish. And in 1981, the New Orleans Saints drafted running back George Rogers with the first pick in the NFL draft. The number two pick that day? Lawrence Taylor by the New York Giants. Now, using the retro glasses, yeah, the Saints missed out. But Rogers was the Heisman Trophy winner out of the University of South Carolina. And to be fair, he had a fantastic rookie year in New Orleans, leading the league in total rushing yards and yards per game. He was the Offensive Rookie of the Year and finished sixth in the voting for MVP. He spent 4 years in New Orleans, which was not a good team in the 80s, and then he went to Washington, where he actually led the league in rushing touchdowns in 1986. But his 7 years in the league compared with Taylor's 13, and the fact that Taylor transformed the linebacker spot in his time there, surely made the Saints wonder what they missed out on this day. In Taylor's rookie season, he was the Defensive Rookie of the Year and the Defensive Player of the Year. He would go on to win Defensive Player of the Year two more times, along with the MVP in 86 when he led the NFL with 20 and a half sacks. And time now for today's non-sports fun fact. There's a full-sized basketball court on the fifth floor of the U.S. Supreme Court building. It carries the name, the highest court in the land. That's all for today. A bit shorter than recent editions, but still some good stuff there, and hopefully you'll learn something new. And hey, if you're enjoying the podcast, the best way to show support is with a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I would greatly appreciate that. I appreciate you listening today, and I'll return tomorrow for another edition of This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans. We've got some exciting news to share with you. Six of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote. Cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all six of them. Again, every vote counts, and we got to show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You got to go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.